Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called Create Your Perfect Career with Benjamin Preston. Benjamin is an amazing person who is super passionate about helping everyone create this exciting career. And he believes that each and every one of us deserve that, which is fantastic, right? As people that are launching in our lives, having an exciting career that fills us up both personally and professionally is a beautiful thing. So I'm super excited to have him on the podcast today. Hello, Benjamin. Welcome to the Launch Podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. I know. This is going to be such a good conversation. So first off, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yes. So I currently work with clients and businesses to kind of help them figure out their career development, career strategy, kind of what they want to do with their lives. A lot of the people that I work with are the typical kind of millennial. I don't want to like brand everybody as a millennial that I work with, but a lot of younger people who usually come to me and they say, I don't know what to do with my life. And they kind of are in that quarter life crisis phase. So I kind of help them navigate their way through kind of what do you want to do with your life? How do you set yourself up and kind of align with that inner, the big, I always say capital P, passion and purpose. Like, how do you get yourself in the flow where you feel like you're moving in the direction that's satisfying for you? So that's kind of what I do in my day job. How I got here, it was a very kind of non-linear way of doing career development. And I feel like that's kind of the thing that I love working with other people, because everyone has a nonlinear approach to how they develop their careers and things like that.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about your nonlinear approach to your career.
Yeah. So usually people, and I always kind of, when I talk about career development, I always look at the education system, the way that we are taught from a young age, it's very linear. So you go from first grade to second grade to third grade, and then you go to high school, and then you go to college, and then you get a job, and then you pay off your student debt, and then you buy a house. And it's just like a very scripted lifestyle. And it works for some people. Like, I know people in my life where that's the path that they followed, and they're very satisfied with it. I went to high school, went to college, was like, hey, I'm not ready for this. I went to get my MBA. I went, you know, I was in marketing. I worked for these large corporations. And then all of a sudden along the way, I kind of was like, hey, this doesn't work for me. And it doesn't work for you a lot, or at least for me and what the clients that I work with, it doesn't work for them because the script that they're following isn't something that they create. So it's a lot of the process, at least the way that I introduce it, is it's more of a creation process. And if you're following someone else's script, you don't have your own input to be able to make a career that you can be excited about. So the creation process, or at least the nonlinear approach that I have, is it's kind of like you go like a metal detector on a beach. Like, you kind of are just scanning until you find something that lights you up, and then you move in that direction. And then eventually you get bored with it and you find something else. But it's a constant game of trying to find what the next exciting thing for you is and then creating your career around that.
Yes, I love that. It sounds so similar to my own background where it didn't fit like that linear approach. And especially if you have educators who are parents, they're really into the linear most of the time, right? Like, you go here, you get a good job, you know, you go to school, and the answer is always to just go get more education, which is important, right? But it's not always education in a traditional sense. Sometimes it's learning, you know, taking a course or going and finding a different mentor or doing something like that. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I think what spins a lot of people out is we aren't taught that skill when we aren't taught how to, at least when I always joke, like in my education, I learned a lot of the practical skills of how to be a communicator. I ended up getting my bachelor's of journalism. So how to be a good journalist or a good communicator or advertiser or marketer, but I didn't learn the skills of how to figure out what I wanted to do. It was kind of just like, here's the track, here's what you need to know. And then once you're in the world, it's just like, now what? Like, it's just very confusing because no one ever gives you the tools to say, here's how you find out the types of things that are exciting to you. And it's always just as simple as being like, literally take out a piece of paper and just write down the things that you like to do and then go through and just explore. Yeah.
Hey, you just made it so simple. Launch listeners, what he just said was brilliant. Ben just dropped some knowledge on us. if you are in a place in your career or your life or your business, I don't care what area it is, and you're going, I don't know what to do next, right? But you know that there's something else you want to do, sit down and write down the things that really excite and inspire you, the things that fill you with joy and happiness, the things that sometimes you start doing and you lose track of time because you're so excited that you're doing them. Those are the things you want to align your work with. If you can do those things on a regular basis and get paid for it. The thing that I do, I started speaking, right? And I remember when I was in high school, if I think back in high school, I was walking through the hallway in my high school thinking to myself, if I could do what I'm doing right now, which was forensics, if I could do this for a job and people would pay me, this would be my ideal job. Now I have the opportunity to do just that, right? And so when you can think, and sometimes it's thinking back into your, you know, your childhood, right? It's like, what are the things you used to spend all your time and energy doing or creating or playing with, or, you know, whatever that looks like. For my son, it's engineering. He's been building bridges since he was little, right? And that's how he thinks. So look for those clues. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay, Ben, I can't wait to learn more. I know that you have a book out there called Harness Your Butterflies. Tell us about that book. First off, that title is genius. That is a genius title. Congratulations on that.
Yes. Well, it was funny as we were talking, because I was working with a publisher to figure out like the title, and they were like, okay, what do you want this to be about? And I was like, the key message of what I want this entire book to be about is just the feeling of excitement. And like, as we were brainstorming, I was like, you know, the feeling you get when you just like something, so like you're about to do something just crazy or ridiculous or like over the top exciting, or like, you're waking up on Christmas morning and you have like the butterflies in your stomach. Like usually when you're little, you have that like physical reaction of just being like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's what I want people to feel in their career. So that's kind of the purpose of the book. But the actual, like the structure of the book is individual chapters broken out into practical things that you can do today. And I always am like, it's a short book, maybe 4 to 5 hour read. But you literally, it's every single chapter is designed to be a framework that you can use today to improve your life, whether it be how to look into your strengths, how should you approach your weaknesses? What do you do if you have anxiety? What are the types of things in the attention economy? How do you kind of own your own attention? How do you deal with motivation? Like there's all the types of things that I ran into as a young professional that I didn't know how to deal with, or that I didn't even know were questions to ask. Mm-hmm. How to communicate with people clearly. Like when I first started, nobody was like, hey, you need to be succinct. Like that was never something that anyone taught me. It was just like, communicate what you need to communicate. And then as I was going, I'm like, people don't care what you say. They really don't. As long as you can say it in 5 seconds, they're good. Like as long as you get your message across. So there's just stuff like that. But the whole book's designed to kind of walk people through what are the steps that you need to have in order to own your own career. But then in addition, to be able to say, these are the professional development skills that are going to set me apart when I start getting in more of those competitive landscapes. Cause that's kind of the other problem that people run into too, is like even if you find your direction, it's like, how do I get in there? Cause most of the time there's already people in that space doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's a practical toolkit that you can use.
Absolutely. That's so good. And, you know, I think it's important what you said about taking the time and energy to, number one, figure out what your strengths are, to identify what it is that you want to do, to understand who you are and what you bring to the workforce. I think that's a really important one that I had to learn the hard way, right? Like, you know, a lot of times it's who you are more than what you can do, because they can teach you the skills. But if you show up as that best version of yourself in that interview, that'll shine through, and that will get you the job or get you to that next level, whether it's a client or a customer or whatever it is that you're working towards. So that's a beautiful thing. You know, a lot of times I hear people are afraid of change. What do you say when you have clients that come to you that say, you know what, I really want a new career? Ben, I want a new career, but I'm so scared because I already know this other one is so terrible and horrible, but I know it. And I don't, you know, like I know what to expect with the terribleness that I'm experiencing and the manager that I hate and all the things, right?
Yeah. I always love that quote. I don't remember the word for where I'm going to totally butcher it, but it's like the only constant thing in the world is change, or the only thing that's constant is change. And I always say to people that are too, and a lot of it is not people people don't want to change because they're scared. Usually it's more of an emotional thing. It's not a logical thing. If it's because there's always two components to your career. There's the logical component. So how far is the commute? How much money am I making? What am I actually going to be doing? But then there's the other part of it where it's all emotional. And so a lot of the times people are too scared. It's usually the emotional trigger that prevents them from changing or moving on. And the biggest thing that I've noticed is it's not, everything's going to change. Every job that you have will be temporary. Every job you have will be temporary. It's just a matter of how temporary or how long you're going to be there. If you really are not happy, but you're too scared to change, at some point, you're going to be to the point where you're frustrated, feeling downtrodden, and you're just going to be so emotionally overwhelmed that you're going to have no choice but to change. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if you're scared to change, that's fine. Keep doing what you're doing. But at some point, it's going to hit you harder than it ever was before. It's kind of like pulling back a rubber band. It's like the further that you wait to let go of the rubber band, the harder it's going to hit your hand. It's kind of the metaphor that I use with my clients, where it's like, you can change today and have control and ownership and kind of be in a state of mental stability and emotional stability, or you can wait and just have that get worse and worse and worse until you hit your breaking point, and then you'll change. So it's kind of,
right? That's a good point. Oh my gosh, I love that so much. My husband, when we were younger, it was one of his first jobs. The company that he was working for was going through a bunch of bad changes and eventually closed. But he was the person who stayed until the end, right? And it just continued to get worse and worse and worse. And you could see the writing on the wall. But if you met him, he's a very kind individual who wants to see the best in everything, right? And eventually that company closed. And so then the change came really quickly. You need to find a different job and you need to do this and all the different things. And then that's stressful. And so I love that you say that, you know, if our listeners are considering a different career, and get this, this is good data for you. Over 70% of the population right now wants a different job. Over 70% of the population. If you're listening, launch listeners, most of you are done. You're done and you want to change. And so that's why this is so pertinent and important for us to talk about, because it's okay to get a different job or to start a different career or start a different business, right? Especially high achievers, my dear friends, if you are feeling bored in the work that you're doing, you're probably going to have to challenge yourself to the next level, right? If you are feeling bored in the work that you're doing, or you're feeling frustrated, or you don't see where it's going, or underappreciated, like that, those are signs that they're like, those are like warning signs that you need something different, right, Ben?
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, confirmation bias is a real thing too. Like if people like look at their careers and they say, well, it's bad here, it must be bad everywhere. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's truly not bad everywhere. It's like, just because you are seeing or you're observing negativity right now doesn't mean the rest of the world is in that space. And that's kind of the thing that we're seeing when you mentioned the 70% of people that are the great resignation, or whatever they're calling it now, where people are just up and at them and they're like, no, there's better stuff around for sure. And it's because it's true. Like there's so many good companies that want to hire people of talent and kind of high ambitious, high velocity people. But if you're too busy not moving on, then they can't find you. So it's kind of a game for them too, where it's like, they want to hire you and you're a great fit for them. But if you're too scared to move on, then they're just going to move on to the next person and you've missed your chance.
Right. Okay, Ben, as you were just chatting there, I was thinking, okay, so the person that's listening to this right now, they're like, yes, Ben, I want a new job. Yes. What you were saying, and they're high-fiving, you know, themselves, they're excited. They're like, let's go. Let's go. Step number one is?
Yes. Figure out I always tell people to align with purpose and passion first. So there's a step that you kind of have to figure out which camp you fall into. There's one group of people that like to they believe they have one passion and one purpose and that it's fixed, and they have to jump from job to job to job to find it. The other group of people believe that their passion is something that they create within their role, so they stay at companies a really long time. So if you're looking for a job, the way that you approach that job search is going to be very different depending on how you value purpose and passion. If you are a type of person that believes that passion is something you find, then I would say look for the types of, don't focus necessarily on industry or sector, but focus on function. So look for like the specific job function that you're excited in. So if you are in marketing, it's not as important that you're in tech marketing or healthcare marketing or whatever type of marketing, it doesn't really matter the industry, try to look for jobs in a function, and then you'll be seeing a lot more opportunities. Because if you kind of pinpointed that you want to be in a certain function, then you want to job search in that way. If you are somebody that stays with companies a long time, you believe that you can kind of be happy wherever, look for industry first and figure out which industries you want to belong to. And then you can explore all the career options within that. Because if you get into a pharma company, for example, and you really love some pharmaceuticals, those are the people that move up as quickly as possible because they have they're in three or four different functions within that organization. And those people tend to go to bubble to the surface faster. So just generally speaking, find out what you, how you value passion and purpose, and then align your job search around either function or industry. But that's usually the easiest way to kind of start. And then once you start reading through job descriptions, if you start seeing that you get really excited with certain types of jobs, then you can start saying, okay, this is probably more in line with what I want to do. And then make sure that you align all of your collateral, so your resume, your cover letter, your portfolio, whatever documents or assets that you need to have for that job search, position them for those types of jobs. Because you might say, oh, I'm going to make them as broad or general as possible. And I can tell you with 70% of people looking for jobs, organizations aren't going to hire generalists. They're going to hire people that they know are a fit for their specific organization because they have so many applicants. You need to make your stuff as tailored or detailed as possible when you go to actually apply or look for jobs.
And edit it.
Yes. No typos.
And edit it. I'm on the like receiving end of getting resumes and cover letters and things because we hire people in our companies and edit it. That's, I mean, because I don't know how many times we've thrown things out because it's the wrong company is in there, like the wrong job. Like, just make sure it's edited and don't trust your own vision to see it, because you won't see the little, you know, nuances that are in the cover letter. Have a friend, have somebody who's really great at editing, edit your cover letter and your resume to make sure that it is in tip top shape. It is so worth it. Even pay somebody to help you with becoming that best version of yourself. Take the time and energy and money to do that, and it will set you apart big time.
Yeah. And if you're afraid of rejection, there's plenty of companies hiring. 70% of people are leaving their jobs, which means 70% of organizations will be hiring. So if you, that was another thing that I just got off of a call with a client a little bit ago, and they're like, I applied for so many jobs and I've gotten rejected from every single one of them. And I'm like, well, like they missed out on a good candidate, but there's tons of more companies that are hiring. So it's all a numbers game.
It is a numbers game. I'm glad you said that, because that's when my husband and I were looking for jobs right out of college. I don't know how many, like hundreds of jobs I had to apply for. And same with him. Like it was the job market at the time. It was all the things, right? I was looking for a very technical job in a place that didn't have any technical job, all the things, right? Yeah. But now I look back at that time. And if I was in that place again, I would tell myself, you know, it's a numbers game. Send out as many as possible. Don't get too stuck on which one's going to work, because you just never know. And also tap into your network or the network of people that you might know. So if you have a mentor or a professor or somebody that you can tap into, a lot of times I'll be talking to like my little brother who's 22, and I'll be like, oh, like you need somebody in this industry, or you need somebody at that company. Like I know somebody, and I'll connect them that way. So look for, you know, your resources that you have, and those connections are really important. Just even having the conversation or growing that relationship is important too.
Yeah, that was a great point. And I think, cause that's actually how I got my first job out of college, was one of my professors was like, hey, you're interested in this type of work, right? And I was like, yeah, because I had been communicating with her about like what I wanted to do. And she's like, oh, well, one of our alumni is coming back to visit. Like, you should have a sit down chat with her. And then in the middle of this 30-minute chat, the lady's like, all right, well, if you want a job, we have one for you. And I was like, that works. Like, so it truly does work. So that's one option if people want to work for someone else. But like, now's a really great time too, if you want to start your own business. It's a really great time for that, because it's just, there's so much change and things happening right now that a lot of people are looking for innovative solutions to problems that have recently developed. So like career development or career strategy, this is like, I would have never imagined in my entire career that this would have been the prime time to launch my organization in the middle of post-pandemic, when people there's, you know, a huge uproar of people trying to find new jobs. But that's the thing, like that's happening in every single industry. So if you want to launch a business, now's a really good time to do that because a lot of things are getting shaken up and there's kind of those cracks in the market where you can get in and expand and grow really rapidly.
Absolutely. Such a great point. Awesome. Ben, what are the things that you've done in your life to launch to the next level?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is for me, I am a risk adverse person. I like certainty. I like knowing that things are going to work out. For me, the biggest things that I've done to launch forward in my career have always been a leap of faith. And it makes me uncomfortable almost every time. And I hate that that's the thing. It's kind of like Brene Brown when she talks about vulnerability and she's like, I'm not a vulnerable person. That's me. Like, I hate taking risks in that way. But my very first job out of school, I moved to New York City. I had no resources, no family out there, no support system at all. And I was just like, I'll move to a foreign city from Nebraska. I'm like, I'll move to New York City and do all this stuff. But the same thing with my business now, like there was no certainty that my business was really even going to work. But now I've taken the leap of faith and I'm like, I'm in it, I'm doing it. So anything for me that's taken me to the next level has always been kind of a courageous, calculated decision to be kind of take that leap of faith.
Courageous, calculated decision.
Yeah.
Maybe that's your next book title. Just
saying. I think so.
Calculated, because that's the analytical piece. Well, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, so many of us, when we're stepping outside our comfort zone, we feel fear. And if you don't know that fear is part of the game, and that you need to start dancing with your fears and you need to start doing things despite your fears. And that fear is the thing that'll go away really quickly. And that fear and excitement are similar, that you will stop and you won't go forward. And that's what I did for a long time. I was waiting for everything to be perfect, right? I was waiting for the perfect job and the perfect career and the perfect resume and the perfect blah, 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 right? Because I'm a recovering perfectionist. And so when you're talking to your clients who are recovering perfectionists like me, and they want to get the job, the first resume, they want to get the job, right? What do you tell them to get over that fear of rejection and the fear of, you know, making sure everything is perfect and everything aligns?
To me, that's the process of creating a career that you can be proud of. Is it's hands in the clay, molding it yourself. If you were to just get your dream job tomorrow, and people always look at me funny when I say this, if you had your dream job tomorrow and it hit every single thing that you wanted the day that you started, you would be so happy, so excited. And then by day five, you would be bored. Because like, there's just no process of getting and growing and developing when you get there. It's kind of like eating a piece of gum and losing the flavor. And you just keep chewing this flavorless piece of gum. And you're like, why am I not feeling satisfied? Because there's no room for development, for growth, for creation. So I always say, it's good to aspire for a job that's exciting to you. But if you get a job that you can be excited about, it doesn't have to be your dream job, but if you get a job that you can be excited about, hook onto that, because there's so much growth and evolution that comes from imperfection and kind of the diversity of experience. Like, I always laugh because my sister and I are polar opposites on almost every single thing, but our family dinners, like when we have for like Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff, are so interesting because the conversation is so diverse versus just, I agree with you, let's move on. I agree with you, let's move on. Like, the diversity of finding out, like, this is really engaging. It's fun to be around. So when you think about it from a career standpoint, you want to make sure that you're finding a career that has a diverse set of experiences. So when you step into it, it might be 50% of what you want, but then you can sift through the rest of the 50% and say, this is, you know, I really like this 10%. I really hate this 20%. But that's how you get through the process of creating, because you get to experience that. And then your next career move is going to be even more sophisticated, even more advanced, because you have that extra data that you can pull from the job that you didn't think you wanted.
Absolutely. And the thing that I think job descriptions don't share is the people that you're going to meet along the way. And the people that you meet along the way are some of the best gifts, right? I mean, I think back to jobs that I absolutely hated, but the people along the way were the reasons that I was able to get through it. But also I learned so much about myself, whether it's a mentor coming into your life or a lesson that happens, or just, you know, people that you get to work on with a team or whatever, create something. And so really thinking about, you know, there's pieces missing when you're looking at that job description of like, is this an organization that I feel like I might be able to meet really interesting people? And if so, that might be a reason to say yes.
Well, and the other thing with job descriptions too, is like, they don't know, the people who are publishing them are usually not the ones, the original creators. So like, even if you're a hiring manager, and I know I worked to organizations where this is how we hired, where if you were hiring a marketing person, you're like, oh yeah, just pull the old job description, we'll just use it again. Like they're, the people that you're actually gonna be talking to that you're meeting are gonna be the ones who inspire you, encourage you to grow, change the job description once you get into the position. Like just because the job description has a list of 75 things, like you might actually only be doing 10 of those things once you start meeting and interacting with people and figuring out what your place is on the team. So yeah, job descriptions are a little, I wish they weren't as long or kind of full of blah. A lot of them are just like it's just words and verbiage. And it doesn't actually say like, this is kind of the thing that you're going to be getting when you work here.
Right. We should start, we'll start a company with really exciting, vibrant, awesome. Like, you know, that would be really, if you started like reading through job descriptions and you came to this one, that's like, wowza. And like all these awesome words and like creativity and innovation and balloons. Yeah. I don't
know. There's a lot of jargon. So a lot of stuff doesn't mean anything. Like because we were like reviewing some job descriptions with one of my clients that I work with, and they brought three job descriptions. They're like, hey, like I want to help kind of figure out how do I tailor my resume toward these three different job descriptions. And they all had very similar, almost plagiarized words about fast-paced environment, like all of this stuff. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything. Like you can't just say stuff to say stuff. You have to be like, this, you know, this is the type of attitude, environment, whatever. Like it's just blah. There's just nothing.
It is blah. This is true. This is so true. Okay, Ben, I want to ask you, how do you deal with stress, or how do you help your clients deal with stress? Because that's a part of jobs, right? And it's a part of this whole process of recreating ourselves and trying to develop, you know, who it is that we want to be. But, you know, how do we overcome that challenge of stress?
The first step is identifying that you are stressed, because I think everyone has a different kind of trigger. Unfortunately, I always have like really sensitive stomach. So I used to be, when I was in a high pressure work situation, I used to be like in event planning when I first started, and I used to get stomach ulcers all the time because I was so stressed and I was just like traveling and doing all that stuff. So that for me, physically, I have to remove myself and just give myself space. That's how I manage stress. But that's only because my body is physically telling me you can't be in this situation because you're going to get a stomach ulcer. So when I deal with stress, it's usually an early indicator, whatever that indicator, everybody has kind of their own. Once you kind of get to either know your brain or your body, you'll know, like you'll kind of get the vibe of like, okay, I'm starting to feel stressed. Like some people get really hot when they're feeling stressed. Like they'll kind of feel like a heat wave come over them, or they start to feel like a little like knot in their stomach where they like a little twisted. Like there's sometimes physical things, sometimes it's mental, but the first step is identifying it. And then the second step is just kind of figuring out how you can cope with it in a way that's healthy and productive. And I think that's going to be different for everyone. For me, it's physically removing myself. I like to go on walks, I like to meditate. I like to just literally sit and listen to the air conditioner. Like that, even if it's for like 20 minutes, like that type of stuff really works for me. Some people like to task switch and just move on to something different because their brain is so active, they need to move on to something else. I personally am an advocate of just like, give yourself space. Like you just need room to think. You kind of need to be just, if you're an introvert, be by yourself. If you're an extrovert, go get coffee with a friend. Like everybody kind of has their own way of dealing with it. But I think the biggest piece of advice that I give people, and I do for myself, is just give yourself space, or go meditate, or go listen to an audiobook or something. Just do something to remove yourself from whatever the stressor is.
That's so good. Yeah. It's so interesting. I asked that question to all these different people that are on the podcast, and all of you come up with different things, but it's very similar in that most of the time meditation comes up. Most of the time walking in nature comes up. Most of the time giving yourself a break comes up, right? Self-care, like making sure that you're taking really good care of yourself, because a lot of times we feel more stressed when things in our environment or work or life are kind of heightened, right? And so we feel that emotion, or we feel that stress on ourselves. So that's really, really good. Thank you. Giving yourself space. Beautiful. Okay, Benjamin, this has been an amazing, amazing podcast episode. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on designing a career that we deserve. How do people get hold of you?
Yeah, everything is on my website, benjaminpreston.com. Or if you want to email me and you're not tired of my name, benjamin@benjaminpreston.com. or on LinkedIn, I basically connect with everybody that, you know, they're like, hey, I heard you on a podcast. I love those type of engagements too. But yeah, those are my major platforms.
Lovely. Well, thank you again, Benjamin, for being on our podcast. Thank you so much to our launch listeners for sticking around and learning about how you can create that beautiful career for yourself. We are so excited for you. When this information works, let us know, right? We want to know that you listened to a podcast and then you went after that job and you got it, or you updated your resume or whatever it is, because that's what we're all about, is helping people launch in their lives, whether that's personal or professional. Awesome. Well, thanks again and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.